we're more than happy to share our experiences and like what that process was like as far as the technicalities are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very nice.
Mariah's like, thanks for speaking for
me. Yeah. Speak for yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Mariah, you were in Ireland.
Yes.
Tell us Dublin. A little bit about Dublin.
So I was working and going to school in Dublin, and then I was living in a south suburb called Dalkey, and it's the cutest little beach town.
Aww.
It was so cute.
Describe an Irish beach.
It's very different than normal beaches, I'm sure.
Rocks, cliffs, and that's
I bet that's
it.
Gorgeous, though.
It is
a little
gorgeous.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Megan's like, I'm
rocks
scared.
And cliffs,
I hope you didn't go too close to the edge.
You don't bring your towel and sunscreen. You bring a sweater and boots.
Exactly. And an umbrella. So I was staying in Dalkey, which... Dalkey's claim to fame is it's where Bono lives. I never saw Bono, but heard many stories.
What?
And I was staying with an 85-year-old widow. She was the nicest, sweetest, but toughest woman that you guys will ever... Well, you won't meet her. that I have ever met. So the thing that attracted me about the Dublin program was that it... offered an internship with Irish Parliament, and so I was interning with a minister of state named Simon Harris, which was a great experience. I got a lot of work experience, and I mean, it was typical internship work, but it was nice to be involved with the political system, and I learned a lot that way. And then I went to school, took four classes: history, literature, politics, and economy. And so
did you read some really great Irish literature?
I read some Joyce.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, some James Joyce.
Very nice.
What else did I read? Some Patrick Kavanaugh.
James Joyce was the Irish bar of choice in Bond, just saying.
The connection starts.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what James Joyce means to me.
So, I learned a lot in classes, but most of it was experience. Ireland was introducing water charges when I was working for Parliament there. And
water charges.
So,
like charging for water?
Right. So, yes. That's kind of just like, yeah.
So, water was free out of your faucet?
Water was free.
Wow.
But is it now?
It is not anymore.
No.
Interesting. Bummer.
Yes.
That's
to the
crazy.
People's behest.
Yeah.
Is it like a free. Tax or do you got to like, it was like a bill?
It's
like
a bill.
Electric.
Like
it's a monthly
have.
Bill. Yeah. It's a monthly bill. It's very similar to what we have. And they started installing water meters in all the houses. And it was the biggest statewide protest that Ireland has had since
I was about to ask. People probably were not happy about that.
Yeah. No. Since their like 1916 revolution, they've been the biggest protest that they've had.
Wow.
So that was really cool to see. And you got to see, because of the conflict that was going on, you really got to see the inner workings of how Irish politics work. And it's very small scale politics because, for obvious reasons, Ireland is so small. So things that people would contact their senator about would be like, I have rats in my attic. So I'm going to contact my senator because he needs to do something about this. Or like, there's a tree in my front yard that needs to be cut down. Like, could you guys ever imagine contacting like Rahm Emanuel about something like that? Or
yeah, he'll get right back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
He's pretty prompt with his email responses.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. So,
just out of curiosity, what is the? Do you know the population of Dublin or Ireland as a whole?
Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, is 4 million.
Okay.
And then
with
Northern Ireland, it's 6 million.
Okay. So not much larger than the population of Chicago.
No, at all. So it's extremely small scale politics. I learned a lot.
Was it, am I mistaken, is it Ireland or Scotland that was trying to vote to secede from the UK?
Scotland.
Did
didn't pass while it was there.
Was that talked about, discussed during your time in Ireland?
It was discussed. A lot of Irish people wanted Scotland to secede, just because Ireland obviously seceded. And Ireland didn't become independent until 1922. So they have a very recent colonial history. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome part about my studies, was that like the people that we're talking about, I mean, they just left government like 40 to 60 years ago, who were part of the Irish Revolution and gaining independence. And so it was really close and in your face, and these issues are something that the Irish still talk about and know about today. Their history is very much a part of the present, which you don't find much of in the United States, in my opinion. So that was really cool to just be able to literally talk with my cab driver about, like, the 1916 rebellion that I was learning about, or, like, the conflicts between Northern and Southern Ireland and stuff like that. So, or just in a pub with, like, random people, but they all know and they all are so passionate about it. So that was really cool.
That sounds amazing.
I know, that's like the dream. Like, we always are saying, like, we wish that everyone was more, like, invested and, like, cared more about politics.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, Irish know what's up. Yeah.
So did you went to Northern Ireland, right?
I did.
And
yeah.
Did you notice a difference?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge difference. I was going to spend a weekend there, but honestly, I had some friends that spent a weekend there and said it's not worth it because the city closes down at 6 p.m., pretty much. There's a wall that goes through Belfast, which is the main city where all the conflict happened. And it's called the Peace Wall that the British government put up as part of the Good Friday Agreement, and which was in 1998. And
your facts right now are blowing my mind.
Yeah, right.
These statistics you're throwing out at me, I am, like,
guys,
so
Mariah
impressed.
Is on
point.
It.
Yeah.
On point.
Every class I took incorporated Irish history. So right. It was like I heard these facts over and over again. And then, like I said, all the people know. So you talk about it. And it's real life. You're living it. So they put up this peace wall and it separates Catholic and Protestant communities. And the gates close from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at night.
That just blows my mind.
That
is happening right now in a civilized nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even know that. That to me brings up like the Berlin Wall and separating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like the Berlin Wall, like they just, while we were abroad, they had like the 25 year anniversary of the wall falling down. And that was like, oh my God, that's so recent and it's still.
Right. And there's like still a modern day Berlin Wall. But when you go there, the custom is to like sign a message of peace, and one of the messages was build bridges, not walls.
Isn't that kind of ironic to do that?
Exactly. Yeah, so a lot of people want it to be taken down.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Right. Yeah.
So, how about your Equable influence in Ireland? Did you find that your Equable training or background was helpful or influential?
Yeah, definitely. We had written exams, so we had to write a cohesive essay in about 40 minutes. And when studying for it, I was kind of obviously stressed out by having to write an essay in 40 minutes.
Sure.
And a lot of my classmates, they knew that I was a writing tutor. I studied abroad with another writing tutor named Daniel. Daniel Clarkson studied in Ireland with me, too. And so they kind of knew that we worked together and that we worked at the writing center. And a lot of people would be like, why are you stressed out? You're a writing tutor. Like, you're going to do fine. And it just kind of made me think of that everyone is a writer and, like, I am no more equipped.
Why, it's our first core belief.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Winner.
Yeah. So it kind of just reiterated the fact that, like, you will write in different contexts and no matter, you're not more equipped than anyone else to write in that sort of environment. I mean,